You know, we're not supposed to know what exactly happens inside secret spy agencies, but we often feel like we know. We feel like it because we've read so much spy fiction or seen it transferred onto the movie screen. Right now, the nation's intelligence agencies are being reformed, and so that may be as good an excuse as we need to reform our notions of some of the great spy novels. We've brought in Nancy Pearl. She's a Seattle librarian, the author of a book of recommended reading, the model for a librarian action figure, and a regular guest on this program. She has put together a list of overlooked spy fiction. Nancy, good to see you again.
Very nice to be here, Steve.
So we have this rather intimidating stack of books here that you've brought in this time. You must really be drawn to this stuff.
I am drawn to it, I think, because once you enter into the world of the spy novel, you are immediately placed in a world where nothing is either black or white. It's kind of all gray, and it's like a puzzle that you're trying to find your way through. And many of the spy novels that I brought in all deal with a presumed leak, for example, in the CIA, and the main character has to find out who the mole is. This is true in John le Carré's Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, which I have to say, I reread that book probably once a year, even though I know who the spy is.
Now, we said overlook spy fiction. John le Carré is about as famous as you get as a
Absolutely.
Spy author, but this is not his best known. This is not The Spy Who Came in from the Cold or anything like that.
Yes, but this, I think, is his best one. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, followed by A Perfect Spy, which I think if you want to know what makes a person become a spy, read A Perfect Spy.
And Robert Littell is in your list here as well.
Robert Littell is, thank goodness, Overlook Press is bringing out some of his earlier books, but his big book is called The Company, which is basically a history of the CIA from about 1950 to 1995. If you want a fictional history, lightly fictionalized history of the CIA, The Company is the book to read.
And the dates that you mentioned, 1950 to 1995, are interesting because that begins in the era of the Cold War,
yes,
which is the time when we imagine a lot of spy fiction, Americans against Soviets.
Yes.
How has the spy novel changed since the Cold War has ended?
Well, I have to say that the only reason to regret the end of the Cold War is that it left a lot of spy novelists searching frantically for some other subject. And so I think what's happened in more contemporary spy fiction, Alan First, for example, is that they're going back to that period, or even earlier. Alan First goes back to World War II and imagines, recreates the world of spying at that time.
Well, let's go further down this list,
okay,
if we can here. On the top of this stack is Donald E. Westlake's book, The Spy in the Ointment.
The Spy in the Ointment is one of the very few lighthearted spy novels that I've found. And it's extremely funny. It may be a tad dated now, but still well worth reading. But it's about a young man named Eugene Raxford, who is more or less blackmailed by the FBI into infiltrating a lot of fringe groups to try to prevent this horrendous occurrence from taking place. And Donald Westlake is a very funny writer.
Is there some kind of cultural difference between the people who decide to write about the CIA, Soviet spies, or the British MI5?
I don't know that there's a cultural difference. I think what many of these writers have in common is that they themselves worked for either the CIA or MI5. Charles McCary, the best American spy novelist, I think, worked for the CIA. The Tears of Autumn features his main character, a guy named Paul Christopher, who works for something called The Outfit, which one gets a feeling is kind of part of the CIA, but not of the CIA. It's set in right after the death of Kennedy. And in this book, Paul Christopher and his creator, Charles McCary, comes up with the answer to who killed JFK. And the answer that he comes up with is so logical, makes so much sense, that after you read The Tears of Autumn, you can never think about it in any other terms but the terms that he set up.
The Soul of Victor Trunco by David Quammen.
We know David Quammen much better as a natural history writer, but early in his career, he wrote two novels. And The Soul of Victor Trunco, I think, is a brilliant work of fiction. It is based on fact, and it's the story of two defectors who come from Russia to the United States. The first one comes with a tale to tell about Lee Harvey Oswald, the death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and whether or not there is a mole in the CIA. And then he predicts that 2 years later or a year and a half later, another spy, another mole is going to come from Russia and is going to say that everything that this first one said is a lie. And lo and behold, that happens. And so this is the untangling of this. This is one of the most intricate, complicated, twisty and turny kind of book that I think you'll ever read.
Let's try another one here. It's called Great Impersonation.
The Great Impersonation by E. Philip Oppenheim. This was written in the early years of the 20th century. The library copies, if you can find it, are all so old and messy, and you can see they've been well-read and well-loved. It's the story of a triple cross, and I have to say that it's a man who pretends to be another man who pretends to be another man, who pretends to be himself. And you don't know... You don't know until the last page of the book who is telling the truth and who he really is. And I've read this book many, many times only because I always think, well, this time I'll be able to remember who he really is. But you never remember.
You know, you talk about shades of gray in spy fiction. It's interesting if you think about a mystery novel, there's usually that moment where everything becomes clear. With the spy fiction, with the good spy fiction, frequently yes. Nothing is ever clear even to the characters at any point.
And I think that that's the difference between a mystery and a spy novel. In a mystery, you expect everything at the end of the book, right is going to triumph. In a spy novel, right might triumph, but not very happily.
Nancy, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you, Steve. My pleasure.
Librarian Nancy Pearl is the author of Book Lust, recommended reading for every mood, moment, and reason. She's also the recipient of the Women's National Book Association Award. For a complete list of Nancy's spy fiction favorites, sleuth your way to our website, npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.